Hello, Sister Saints. It's Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. We're having, it's like a summer day almost. It's going to be, I think it's supposed to get up to 70 today, and the sun is shining, the birds are singing, the breeze is blowing, and I just washed a bunch of clothes and hung them out on the line, and what a satisfying feeling to see all your hard work. Amen, sisters. All these Titus 2 and Proverbs 31 chores that we do is unto the Lord, and it's greatly satisfying working with our hands. A sister said it wisely, you know, sometimes it's wise to keep your hands busy and your mouth silent in certain situations, and I've been often thinking about that. So anyway, so on to what I wanted to talk to you about today. I've been kind of thinking and pondering this for a while because we know this is a big issue, feminism. And so what I did was I went through the Bible and I looked up a lot of examples of women who showed feminism. And I'm not doing this to bash women and say, oh, women are the bad ones all the time, because we see many examples of men doing wickedness as well. And so the whole point of this is to show us women some examples of what feminism is, even though many of these women were good and godly women. We see a lot of the men in there were good godly men, and sin can overtake the flesh. And as, if we repent, as we see in 1 John, we have an advocate, and that would be Jesus Christ. Through his blood, we can repent and be forgiven of our sins. And so us godly sisters who are striving in the Lord, we do want to see what the New Testament tells us in 1 Peter 3 and 1 Timothy 2, in Ephesians 5, Colossians 3. There's many instructions for godly women and how we are to submit and dress and be quiet and shamefaced and have a meek and quiet spirit, you know. So there's many of those in there, which are contrary to what I'm going to show you, some of the actions that these women did. And instead of talking about what they did per se, I'm just going to tell you who it is and then read the passage around it. And then if you want, you can go back and read more of the context of it and everything, and just see some examples of what we don't want to do. And anyway, let's get to it, because I have quite a few of them. I'm going to start with the first one, which is Eve. And I'm going to read Genesis 3, 1 through 6. And like I said, I'm just pretty much going to tell you who it is and read the scriptures, because they pretty much speak for themselves. And if there's any questions, you can go back and look it up and get more of a context on it. So Eve, Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Sarah, Abraham's wife, is the next one we're going to look at. That would be Genesis 16, 1 through 12. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand, to do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of the water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and shall call him his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard of thy affliction, and he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. You see the trouble that just happened there. Okay, Potiphar's wife, Genesis 39, 7 through 20. Let's see some feminism in here. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is in me, what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled, and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house, and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled, and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought into us, came in to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did my servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. Yeah, look at the destruction. Let's look at Delilah, the wife of Samson. And if you go read that, you see how she'd been pestering and pestering him. We're going to read Judges 16, 15 through 20. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and he said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke up out of his sleep, and said, I will go out as other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord departed from him. All right, let's read about Job's wife. If it's a brief one, but just as powerful as some of the other ones that we just read. Job 2, 9 and 10. And we all know about Job and all the afflictions that he suffered at the hands of Satan. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. And now if we go to Ezra, we'll see the pagan wives that they took and how the wives did not give up their pagan gods. Ezra 9, 1 and 2. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Ammonites, and the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of the lands. Yea, the hands of the princes and ruler hath been chief in this trespass. And here's a pretty popular one. It's Proverbs 7, the Proverbs 7 harlot, 15 through 20. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home, he is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. Yeah, okay, so let's move on to McCall. I don't know, some people call her Michael, but I looked it up, it says McCall. I'm no good at pronouncing names, so anyway. Let's see what she did. 2 Samuel 6, 20 through 23. Then David returned to bless his household. Well, this is after the famous thing where they say David danced. You can go read that yourself and then see the context. All right. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself." And David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all this house, to appoint me ruler over all the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore I will play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in my own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of. Of them shall I be had in honor." Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. All right, here's another one. This is another good one of, not good, but another pretty big example of feminism that almost kind of resounds today, maybe, in a little bit of a concept. Anyway, we're going to read about Vashti, the wife of King, now I got to pronounce his name, Ahasuerus? Anyway, you could look it up. Esther 1, 15 through 18. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti, according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, "Vashti, the queen, hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported." The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. Yeah, you see how the actions of one can affect the other. Now we're going to read about Queen Athaliah in 2 Kings 11, 1 through 3. When Athaliah, the mother of Ezai, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of the king Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord for 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land. And I just want to say, you probably need to read the context of this to understand it. She was the queen. She wanted to destroy everybody so that nobody could take over the power. But Jehosheba, she wasn't the feminist one. She was just saving the life of Joash. And if you read through that, you'll see that they destroyed Queen Athaliah for her actions. And here's another one. Miriam, who spoke against Moses. Miriam had a pretty good prominent place. And let's just read it. Numbers 12, 1 through 16. And I'm going to read all this. It's the whole chapter because it gives the whole context. For the most part. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall behold. Wherefore, then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh hath have consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, shall she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. Okay, now we're going to go to another famous one that we all know, Jezebel, from King Ahab's wife. Revelation 2, 19 and 21. Oh, no. I got the wrong one on here. Oh, I have the wrong Jezebel on here. Hold on. Let me put this on pause for a minute. Okay, I think I got it here. Jezebel, in 1 Kings 21, I'm not sure. I'm just going to start in verse 5. I didn't have it in my notes here. So we're going to read about Jezebel and feminism there. But Jezebel, this is King Ahab, his wife Jezebel. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and... I'm sorry, hold on. Yeah, we'll start at verse 5. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth, the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give the vineyard of Naboth to Jezreel, the Jezreel. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with a seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling in Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, Thou did blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. And so they ended up killing that man, so that way Ahab got the vineyard, and we see the destruction of feminism there. Okay, now we're going to go to another Jezebel in Revelation 2, 19 and 21. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Okay, and we're going to go into the New Testament, Matthew 14, 1 through 11, Herod's wife and niece. Let's look at the wicked feminism that just went on here. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. When he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them that which sat at him at meat, and commanded it be given to her. And he sent, and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger, and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. What great wicked feminism we see there. And there was one more I was going to say. Hold on a second. No, I can't think of it. Brother James mentioned one, and we were discussing whether that was a good example or not. But anyway, I just want to say, you know, those are some examples of the wicked destruction of feminism. And although our feminism today doesn't, I mean, the average woman who's claiming Christ is not going to do such wickedness of that feminism that many of those women did. But some of it was easy for people to do. Look at Miriam talking about Moses. I mean, those are words and stuff that she was saying. Obviously, it was in her heart. And so godly women are not beyond feminism in their lives, and godly women are not beyond doing some wicked ones. And so we got to make sure that, you know, we have to be careful we don't think we're something lest we fall, like the scriptures say, and always be looking and sorting out the root of feminism within us. And it can be very subtle, it can be very great, and these are some pretty big ones, notable. They're in the Bible for everybody to read about and to learn from. And maybe some other time I'll look and do some maybe come up with some ideas where feminism could be really subtle within our life that we don't know. And I'll probably talk to Brother James about that, because a lot of times wives can be having a form of feminism and not even realize they're doing it, even though they think they're doing things for the good of their household and for husbands and things like that. They may not have a clue. So the perspective coming from a man on what feminism, I think, would be great for us to understand. So at some point I'd like to go back and do that. But anyway, hopefully that's been encouraging to you, and I encourage you to go back and read some of those accounts and pray that the Lord help us avoid any form of feminism, and that we can learn from the Holy Word of God and our guidance in the New New Testament, and all the scriptures that strengthen and edify us and make us keep pressing on to the glory of the Lord. All right, sisters, hopefully you have a joyous day. Hold fast. May God be praised.